Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message from our visiting guest ministry will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So awesome. You can be seated. Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. And a little bit of drizzle here, but I just found out where I'm from. It's absolutely bucketing down with rain. So you know the old saying about Queensland, beautiful one day, absolutely pouring the next. And so it's wonderful to be here. It's such a great thrill. It's a bit of a homecoming for me because I grew up in Nunawading. And so basically I'm just another Victorian up on the Gold Coast. I went to school at Donvale Christian College back in the day. And so I used to work in Blackburn too, by the way. And so it is a great thrill to be here. Always a great thrill to catch up with JJ and Paulina. I've known them for a number of years when they used to work for our school up on the Gold Coast. And so great to see all that God is doing in your life. And really thankful to Pastor Wayne and Lynn Alcorn, great personal friends of mine, and really in many ways a partial influence in our lives. And so I love them very dearly and really thrilled to be with you today. Had an awesome time at the first service, but that was really just practice for the proper one, which is now. And so I'm really looking forward to it. For those of you who don't know who I am, I always have to deal with the elephant in the room. And that is that people see me, hear me talk, see my name, and they always wonder what nationality I am. And said, people think of all kinds of nationalities. So a lot of people think I'm European, Greek, Italian, Spanish, that sort of thing. A lot of people think I'm South American, especially back in the 80s. A lot of people thought I was Argentinian because they thought I looked like the soccer player Diego Maradona. Even had people think I was Japanese. It's true. They say, are you Japanese, mate? I said, no, why'd you say that? They said, well, you know, your last name, Naitoko, sounds like Tokyo. But it's actually not. I'm half Australian. So my mum is actually from country Victoria, a little town called Stanley, which is near Beechworth. And my dad is Tongan, so from the South Pacific Islands and that sort of thing. And so been married 25 years to the lovely Trisha, who's with me this morning. She's actually from far north Queensland, up near Cairns. And so we've been married 25 years, got three sons. And I remember when we first got married, I always wondered what our kids would look like, you know, because I'm half Tongan, half Australian. She's an Aussie from north Queensland. And so, you know, because when you get a gene pool like that, you're never sure what you're going to get. And I remember when my first son was born, he came out looking pretty well what I thought he would look like. He came out with caramel skin, fine features. We named him Amos. And I remember thinking, oh, that's what I thought we'd produce. Then my second son was born. Couldn't believe it. Total throwback to the Tongan side. So he came out with chocolate skin, big head, flat nose. He came out with the more Tongan personality. We had to stop him playing soccer 1 year because he kept starting punch-ups with all the other kids. And he was 6 years of age at the time. And so we named him Joshua. So first son's Amos, second son Joshua. Then a few years after, we found out my wife was pregnant with a third boy. And so, as I always do, I always pray about what to name each son, and really felt to name him after my father. It's a Tongan tradition that you would name one of your sons after your father. So my dad's a Tongan man. His name is Ifalemi, which is a Tongan version of the tribe Ephraim, which means prosperous one. So I'm trusting he's going to be the really rich one. And I thought he'd come out looking like the other two, you know, caramel, chocolate, that sort of thing. Well, when he was born, couldn't believe my eyes, came out as a total throwback to the Aussie side. So he came out with white skin and blonde hair. And it's funny when you tell people his name. You know, my dad said, what'd you call him the Tongan name for? You should have called the Tongan-looking ones with the Tongan name. And I said, well, I just want people to know he's with me. And so you tell a Polynesian his name, you know, a Tongan, Maori, Samoan, something like that. They say, what's his name? You say, his name's Ifalemi. They look at you and they go, oh, that is so beautiful. You know, you tell an Aussie goes, what's his name? You say, his name's Ifalemi. They look at you and they go, how do you pronounce that? Remember one time my wife was dropping the boys off at school and one of the other mothers came up to her and said, oh, he's gorgeous. What's his name? And she said, his name's Ifalemi. Later looked at me and goes, oh, don't we do some silly things as parents? So anyway, it's wonderful to be here today with you, with some nice people. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you. And I want to read to you a verse that is a very well-known verse in Scripture. In fact, I used to work for Word Bookstore back in the day, and we used to sell like Bible covers. We used to sell fridge magnets, little cards with scriptures on them. And there's always like the same 10 scriptures that were on all of those things. And so I think the verse I'm going to read to you today was probably one of those 10 scriptures. And it's actually found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, 28, and it says this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." I'll read that again. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." The title of my message today is, "It's All Good." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask and pray that we will all leave here with the confidence that's available to us, that we know everything's all good. I thank and praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8, 28, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." That's written by the Apostle Paul to the Roman church. Now, if you know anything about being a Christian in Rome, it wasn't very easy. I mean, they were highly persecuted. Have you ever heard of the Christians being fed to the lions in the Colosseum? That's Rome. And Paul's writing to the Romans. Hey, Roman Christians, we know that all things work together for good. Those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I'm sure some of those Roman Christians would say, "Actually, Paul, don't know that I do know. If you knew everything that I'm facing right now, if you knew all the trouble around me, how could you possibly say that all things work together for good? And not only that, what things? Surely not everything works together for my good." But Paul, knowing the situation that they're in, was basically telling them that hope and peace and confidence is available for every believer, regardless of what you're facing. You could go through the same things that the world is going through, but it doesn't have to affect us the same. Why? Because we can know that we know that we know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. That's why Christians should be the most positive people on the planet. Because in spite of what we're facing, we can still have that confidence on the inside. Because our hope is not dependent on our circumstances. Our hope is dependent upon our God. And he is saying to these people, who many of them, their lives were being threatened. He was saying, you can know that you know that you know that all things work together for good. Because you love God and are called according to his purpose. And so I want to talk to you today about four things that work together for your good that you may not even realize. Four things that work together for your good that you may not have even thought about. The first thing that works together for our good is dumb things. Dumb things. He says, all things work together for good. He doesn't say every right decision you make is going to work together for good. He doesn't say only if you make a right choice or a sound judgment is that going to work together for your good. He doesn't say that. He says all things work together for good. So what that means is this, even some of the dumb mistakes we make, God can still work together for good. There are some people I know, they live under condemnation for a mistake they made many, many years ago. But I want to let you know that even if you made a mistake, and all of us have at some point, you don't have to reach perfection in all your decision making in order to apply for this verse. He knows that there are times when we make errors of judgment, but he can still make those things work together for your good. I love the story of the prophet Elisha. Elisha was by the banks of the River Jordan with a number of men who were chopping down trees with axes. And one of the men, as he was chopping down a tree, the axe head flew off and landed in the middle of the Jordan River. He comes to Elisha and he says, "Alas, my Lord, the axe, it was borrowed." Elisha doesn't say to him, "Well, that's your fault, mate. That was your problem. Where were you during the safety induction? We told you how to tie it off. You didn't do it right. You made the mistake. That's your problem." But he doesn't say that to him. He says to him, "Where did it land?" And so he showed him about approximately where it landed in the river. He grabs a branch. It was a prophetic declaration. The branch represents the cross of Christ. He throws it into the middle of the Jordan River and the axe head floats. That's actually what Jesus does in our life as well. That he actually, because of the cross of Christ, he can redeem your life from destruction. It doesn't matter how low that you've sunk. It doesn't matter how low that you've fallen. He can resurrect that all once again. Amen? And then the Bible says that the axe head floated, and he continued on about his way. Even some of the dumb mistakes we make, God can still work together for our good. There are times in our lives where we make some wrong decisions and we make some wrong choices. Well, your life is not over. God can just redirect you back onto the path that he has for you. Many years ago, I lost my license. And I'd love to say it's because I was a petrol head, you know, really fast driver. But it's not. I'm actually quite a slow driver. In fact, my wife is the fast driver in our family. She would actually mock me at the slowness of my driving. She used to call me Driving Miss Daisy because she thought I would drive too slowly. But the problem is I would not always know when the speed was changing. And so I racked up a few fines and that sort of thing. Now, my wife was very upset with me. She's a fast driver, but she could always see where the police were because she grew up in a family that always had their eye out for the police. But I did not. And so she got very upset with me. She goes, can't you tell there was a camera there? Can't you see there was a policeman there? And I said, listen, I grew up in a law-abiding family. I didn't spend my whole time looking out for the police. You know what I'm saying? And so I lost my license from absent-mindedness. And then eventually I got my license back and I thought, you know what, the thing that would catch me out is when the speed changed. So this was back in the day before Apple CarPlay. I thought, I'm going to get, one of those sat-navs, a TomTom. You know, the ones that you stick on your windscreen? And so I got one of those and it would tell me, you know, when the speed changed. But obviously, whenever it was, you know, you punch in the directions, it would tell you where to go. And so that voice would come on, you know, like, turn left in 500 metres. Turn left in 300 metres. But here's the thing. If you don't do what it says, it doesn't say, well, you wouldn't listen to me, now you're on your own. What does it do? It recalculates. It reroutes your destiny. Turn left in 500, turn left in 300. You know? So he doesn't allow you to go into a dead end. It just causes you to have a detour. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but there's some of you thought your life is a dead end. It's not a dead end, it's just a detour. And God's going to redirect you. You don't have to live forever under condemnation for that mistake that you made. Yes, you might have had a season of suffering, but I just want to let you know that even those things, God can work together for your good. All things work together for good. Even some of the dumb mistakes that we make, God can still work together for our good. The second thing that works together for our good is bad things. Notice this, he says all things work together for good. He doesn't say everything you experience is going to be good. Some people misinterpret that verse. They think, okay, all things work together. Everything I'm going to go through is going to be pleasant and nice. He doesn't promise that. He's not saying that everything you experience is good. He's saying all things work together for good. There are some things we go in through our life which are disappointing. There are some things that we go through in life that are unfair. And by themselves, they're not nice. But God can take those things and actually turn them around and he can work those things together for good. By themselves, they're not nice, but work it together, it produces something good. A number of years ago, when we had, our boys were very young, Trish decided to, Trish stopped working, was stay-at-home mum. And so what had happened was that in that time, her favourite pastime is baking. And so she would bake every day. Like she would bake cookies, she would bake brownies, she would bake cakes, absolutely magnificent. And she would make them every day and I'd come home and I'd see them and then I'd start eating them. After a couple of months, she says to me, hey, listen, you're putting on a bit of weight. And I said, that's your fault. I said, if you didn't make the cookies, I wouldn't put on the weight. Then she says something which is the most ridiculous thing you can ever say to someone who's half Tongan. She says, oh, you don't have to eat it. Of course I'm going to eat it. It's there. Of course I'm going to eat it. Now, here's the thing. I can always tell when Trish is getting ready to bake because she starts lining up the ingredients on the counter. So she would put the flour, the eggs, the butter, the milk, the cocoa, the sugar. She starts lining it up. And as much as I love her baking, I always wait till she combines the ingredients before I eat it. I don't come home and say, oh, honey, you're baking awesome. Crack an egg. Get some flour. Have some sugar. No, no, no. I wait till she works it together before I eat it. By themselves, it's not nice. But work it together, something good comes out of it. The Bible says God works all things together for good. Even that bitter thing that you went through, even that disappointing thing that you went through, even that frustrating thing that you went through, God can still work it together and produce something of it. did you know that part of our destiny relies on some tough times? Romans chapter 5, 3 to 5 says this. It says, we glory in tribulation. What kind of fool would glory in tribulation? Not because we enjoy it, because of what it produces. We glory in tribulation because tribulation produces perseverance. So that's how we're supposed to respond to a tough time. Have you ever done something God wanted and then some tough things happen? I meet so many people say, oh, well, no, God's just changing his mind. No. We're supposed to persist. We glory in tribulation. Tribulation produces perseverance. Then it says perseverance produces character. So that's how character is formed. I don't like that. I wish character was a gift. I wish that at the end of the service, we could line you up and say, you come up here, I'm going to pray for you. Boom, God's going to give you character. That's not how it works. I remember one time I was at a conference many years ago. It was about 30 years ago now in Sydney. And I went up the front to get prayed for. And there was this elderly pastor towered over me. He would have been like 6'7", something like that. And I went up the front and he looks at me, looks down at me, says, how can I pray for you, son? I said, I want to be more like Jesus. And then he looked at me and goes, are you sure? And I thought, well, seeing as you're putting it that way, I'm not sure. But I thought, I can't deny Christ to a pastor. So he prayed for me. I've had tribulation ever since. Because tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Then character produces hope. So watch this. Hope is an attitude. And great attitudes are often formed by persisting through tough times. Having everything go your way doesn't help improve your attitude. That actually we have an attitude of hope in spite of our circumstances. That's why we can go through the same things other people go through, but we can come out of it different. Why? Because we can have a good attitude in spite of it. It says, with glory and tribulation, tribulation, perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And then it says this, and hope does not disappoint. Double negative. So what it means is hope appoints. So what that means is this, that tough thing you went through in the beginning, God uses it to help you fulfill the destiny that God actually has for your life. Classic example of this is in Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, it starts off really nice. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the still waters. Leads me paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But look what happens on the other side of the valley. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Then my favorite bit. Then surely goodness and mercy follow me. Did you see that? On this side of the valley, I'm doing everything he wants me to do. He makes me, he leads me, he guides me. Yay, now I'm in a valley. Then at the end, he says, goodness and mercy follow me. What's he saying? Now I'll back you up. Now it's time to follow your dream. You've been through that valley. You've proven your obedience. Now it's time for you to fulfill the dream that he's actually put in your heart. Amen? And it all comes on the other side. That's why some of those tough things we go through is God's preparation process for what he's actually got for our lives. Many years ago, we bought a house in a place called Ipswich, west of Brisbane. And when we bought it, it had a big yard. And, you know, I come from a family of, you know, people who love gardening. My wife's family love gardening. I hate gardening. And so it's just really not my thing. And so out in the backyard, we had all these, you know, trees and vegetation. And one of the things that we had was we actually had a lemon tree. And to be honest, I don't really want to call it a lemon tree. It was more like a lemon shrub, like it was about this high. And the lemons were pathetic. You know, it used to frustrate me. I had no idea how to make them more fruitful. I'd go out the back, look at the lemons. I'd get frustrated. I really was very tempted to do what Jesus did to the fig tree with those lemons. You know, grow lemons or die. And so, I was just very frustrated with it. And then a little while later, about just over a year after we bought the house, I think all the Brisbane floods came through. And so the house that we had was a double-story house. Across the road from where we live was a fence and a 20-metre drop down to the Brisbane River. Second week of January 2011, the river rose to the point it went a metre and a half through the second story of our house. The thing that I remember the most of that time was the stench of that water. the smell was something you just kind of, it's so hard to replicate. It was absolutely disgusting. I remember I only had one set of clothes because we didn't expect our house to flood, so I only had one set of clothes with me. And we'd be cleaning out the house, but then each day I would go and I would wash my clothes. But by the end of the week, I had to throw them out. They're absolutely disgusting. Not only that, that water was toxic. So a lot of people, like if they had cuts and abrasions, they got actually bacterial infections. The water touched it. They got very, very sick. A lot of people hospitalized, and that water was disgusting. It stunk. It was poisonous. It completely wiped out our house, and then it also completely wiped out our yard. Very soon after, my whole focus was on rebuilding our house. I wasn't thinking much about my yard. Very soon after, the grass started growing so quickly, and I didn't want to go out and mow it because I knew there'd be snakes there because I live by the Brisbane River. And so I got an intern to do it. Back in the days, you could do those things, you know. And so I spent no time in our backyard. Then what happened was that about 6 months in, the kind of house we had is called a Queenslander, so it's high set. You can climb up on the outside and go through the second story. And so we were on our back porch, Trisha and I going in, you know, at the second story, going in the back door, and I hadn't taken any notice of the yard. And then Trish said to me, she said, "Ben, check out the lemon tree." I turn around, the lemon tree had doubled in size and was pumping out the biggest, fattest lemons I've ever seen in my life. And I thought, how did that happen? And then I thought, oh, was that water? That dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking water that destroyed everything for that tree was fertilizer and the very thing it needed to fulfill its potential. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but the word of the Lord to you is this: all the filth you've been through ain't nothing but fertilizer. And the very thing God's going to help you to fulfill your destiny. He doesn't say everything you experience is going to be good. He says all things work together for good. And you might be going through something bitter right now. You might be going through something frustrating and disappointing. I want to let you know that all things work together for good. For those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The third thing that works together for our good. Now notice this. He says, and we know that all things work together for good for those that love God. So this is the only caveat on the verse. It doesn't say all things work together for good automatically for everyone. It doesn't say that. It says all things work together for good for those who love God. So you qualify for this promise if you love God. So the question is this: how do you know that you love God? Well, Jesus actually tells us in John chapter 14, 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So watch this. The way you know you love God is because you're obedient to him. Now, this room is full of people that love God and want to live a life in obedience to him. But who knows that that's a risky life? Because who knows that there are times when God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense to others and doesn't even make sense to you. Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, verse 8, he says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who was born of the Spirit. So that's not saying that the Spirit is like the wind. It's saying those who were born of the Spirit are like the wind. And there are times that simply because we're obedient to God, we're doing things and we don't even know why we're doing them. We're only doing it because he's asked us to do it. And so who knows, has anyone been through a season which didn't make any sense? That you don't even know why you're doing what you're doing it. You're only doing it because God told you. And sometimes you might think that that season is meaningless. But here's the thing, in God there is no meaningless season. So even meaningless things, God can still work together for your good. 20 years ago, I moved to Brisbane from a country town in North Queensland called Mackay. And I moved to start a Bible college in Brisbane. It was called Planet Shakers College at the time. And I remember when we went to do that, I'm going to run a Bible college. I'm going as a Bible college principal. Now, the church I was based at was multiple locations, a lot like what Numa is. And some of those locations were what we call bump in and out. So what that means, set up and pack down. And I know this campus understands that well. And so what you're doing is you're setting up and packing down every week. And what would happen was everything needed for the church was kept on this truck. And basically every week, one of the staff members had to drive this truck, be at the location before 7 a.m. in the morning, and they would start setting up and that sort of thing. And so staff members were put on the roster to drive the truck. But to drive that truck, you needed a thing called a light rigid license. And thankfully, I didn't have one. And so I wasn't put on the roster to drive the truck. I had no guilt about it. I had no qualms. God had not called me there to go and drive no truck. He'd call me, I'm a Bible college principal. He'd call me there, I'm there to preach the word. That's not really my go, you know. And some of the other staff members were getting a bit antsy about that. I remember at staff meeting one day, the guys who were on roster all the time, they started firing up and they said to our senior pastor, they said, how come we have to drive the truck every week? And then they started pointing to those of us who weren't on the roster. How come these guys don't have to drive the truck? One of them pointed at me, said, how come Ben doesn't have to drive the truck? I remember staring at him, giving him daggers. I was thinking to myself, just serve the Lord with gladness, why don't you? You know what I mean? I mean, God has not called me to drive no truck. I'm a Bible college principal. I'm a preacher. He's not called me. And so then our senior pastor said, you know what? You're right. All you other guys, you need to be on the truck roster. You guys need to go and get your light rigid license. And I thought, oh no. And then what happened was, I don't know how it happened, but for whatever reason, I was one of the first to get the test and I got my light rigid license. And then it felt like I was on roster every single week. And then what happened was, I lived 1 hour away from the location that had to be set up each time. And so I remember I was driving out there. I was so frustrated. I thought, this is a total waste of my time. You know, someone else should be doing this. I'm a Bible college principal. Why am I doing this? And then, you know, to make matters worse, some other guys joined staff and they didn't actually have their light rigid license. So one day I'm at staff meeting. I said, how come these guys don't? And it just frustrated me so much that in the end, I got out of it by resigning. So I resigned and I remember thinking to myself, and then I became an itinerant minister. So for 6 years, 50 weekends a year, preaching around Australia. It was so good. You just turn up 5 minutes before the service. Someone puts a coffee in your hand. Someone shouts you free lunch. Amazing. And so I remember thinking to myself, well, you know, that was, I don't know what that season was all about. Makes no sense, but anyway, whatever. Anyway, whilst I'm an itinerant minister, I noticed one day that a friend of mine who was managing a company that would deliver food to daycare centres was asking for someone to fill in for driving that particular week. He said, we need someone to fill in driving this week for us, deliveries, and, you know, we're paying this amount and you've got to have your manual licence. Soon as he wrote that, I thought, well, no millennial's going to apply for this. And so I said, okay. So this is my last time here today. And so I rang him up. His name's Ray. I said, Ray, I'll fill in for that week for you. He said, oh, awesome, thanks. And so he said, can you meet me at the depot at 5 a.m.? The depot was 5 minutes from where I lived. I went there, got there at 5 a.m. And he says, oh, and he showed me, you know, he said, this is where you're going to be driving to today. And he says, oh, I forgot to ask. He said, do you have your light rigid license? I said, I do. Why? And he turned around, he says, you're driving that truck. The truck he pointed to was the exact same truck I used to drive for the church. And because I had so much experience driving it for the church, we're going to daycare centres and you needed a bit of experience, I was able to manoeuvre it in. And then basically for the next few years, anytime someone was sick, anytime someone was on holidays, they would ask me if I was around, and if I could do it, I would fill in for them. And basically, all that little bit of extra money paid for all my international travel for the next 4 years. Some of you are doing something, and you're only doing it because God told you, and it makes no sense. Even those things work together for good because you love God and are called according to his purpose. There's a story I love found in Jeremiah chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. I'll give you the Ben Nye Toko translation of it, okay? And so God comes to Jeremiah. It says, Jeremiah, go to the shops. Buy that underwear. Put it on. Go to the Euphrates River, a couple of days' journey. Take the underwear off. Hide it behind a rock. Go home. A couple of months later, go back to your Fradies. Go grab the undies from behind the rock. And he lifted it up. And the Bible says they were tattered and torn. And then the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And it was a nation-shaking word. It was a powerful word. And he only received it after a series of seemingly small, meaningless steps of obedience. When you love God, there are times we don't know how we got here or where we're going. All things work together for good because you love God according to his purpose. Amen. Meaningless things. And the last thing is this. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. We serve a purposeful God. The Bible says he's got a plan and purpose for every single life. We have a strategic God. And so there might be reasons why we don't know why things are happening, but he's in complete control. So the last thing that works together for our good is everything. Everything works together for our God. God can use every season. God could use everything that you're going through and turn it around for his glory and do also. Everything works together for our good. I sometimes think of the story of the Apostle Paul. If you know anything about Paul, done any study on him, he was an incredibly driven person. He would go into cities and the Bible says that he would teach from morning to night. Problem is the Bible doesn't say a lot of what he actually taught. And then there was a number of times when he went to prison unjustly. Didn't make any sense. He didn't want to be there. He wanted to get out. But in the meantime, whilst he was there, he thought, I better communicate to these churches that I have. And so he writes a number of letters to these churches, some like the church to the Philippians and that sort of thing. And I would imagine whilst he's in there, he's saying, pray that I get out of here. Or, you know, God, you can use me while I'm in here, but get me out. And as he's actually doing that, I don't think he realizes that God is going to take those things that he's writing at that time to go and minister to those few dozen churches, have 2,000 years later been used to minister to billions of people. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was written by Paul in the midst of a season and a place he didn't want to be. God can use those things, everything. He can work together for your good because you love God and according to his purpose. A number of years ago, I got saved at a church called Ringwood AOG in Mullum Mullum Road back in 1992. And so I remember that a couple of years after I was there, I went up, I think it was 1995, I went up the front to get prayer. And as I got prayed for, God gave me a vision, a phrase. And the phrase was Temple Gym. And I remember at the time I was training to be a fitness instructor and I thought maybe I'm supposed to start a gym called Temple Gym and didn't think much of it. Then a couple of years later, God called me to go to Bible college in Sydney. Whilst I was there, whilst we were at Bible college, every night, it was on site, we used to live in dormitories on site. And every night there was a bunch of us that used to pray in the basement of the boys' dorm. We used to call it the Sons of Thunder Room, you know. It wasn't the bathroom, but we used to call it the Sons of Thunder Room. And we would go there and pray every night at 9 o'clock. I remember one particular time I was down there praying. And as I was praying, it was like a spirit of intercession came upon me. And I just started praying like these deep intercessory prayers. And in the end, I was praying for about 3 hours. And then at the end of it, I saw a vision of palm trees. And I saw the words Gold Coast. So I wrote down in my diary, God sending me to the Gold Coast. Now, I now know that every pastor thinks that. And so, but then after that, God called me to go to Mackay in North Queensland. We went to Mackay in North Queensland and the church we were based at had a Christian school. And we got to learn from the inside out all the complexities around and the tensions around churches and schools. And I got to see that all firsthand. Then from there, God called us to Brisbane to start a Bible college, as I told you before. And I remember in my first state conference, ACC Queensland State Conference, after having moved to Brisbane, we're in our hotel room and I woke up and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you're going to pastor Kings. And I remember at that time, the only Kings church I knew of was pastored by a very scary man on the Sunshine Coast. A couple of you might know him, a guy by the name of Steve Penny. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to go tell Steve. He's got to give me his church. I thought, don't think so. And then not long after that, he actually did retire, but he handed it over and it became what's now known as Calvary Church. A few years after that, great friend of ours, a lady by the name of Robin Stevenson and her husband, Sanjay. Robin came and saw Trish and I, and she said, "I've been having this dream all week about you guys." I said, "What's the dream?" She said, "I was dreaming that you were pastoring a church called Kings." And I remember at the time that I knew of a church on the Gold Coast called Kings, but I also knew that they had a new senior pastor, a younger guy. And I remember thinking, well, that's not, I said, you've probably had too much pizza at night or something. I said, I didn't think much of it. But fast forward to 2017, then we got invited to take over a church on the Gold Coast called Kings, which has the largest Christian school in Australia. And then we moved to a suburb called Varsity Lakes. And I'm walking around Varsity Lakes and I see a sign. It says Temple Gym. There's a gym there called Temple Gym. So I thought, I guess I'm supposed to go. And one day I will. And and I can look back over 30 years and see the thread of what the Lord has done in my life. And I can realize all things work together for good when you love God and accord according to his purpose. So I've made a decision. I'm not going to worry as much anymore. The amount of times I thought my life was finished, the amount of times I thought my ministry was over, the amount of times I thought I was financially ruined, the amount of times I thought my children are going crazy, and I can look back now and realize all things work together for good. It's all good. It's all good. And so I've made a decision right now, and I have, you know, probably more stresses surrounding me than at any time in my life, but I've just made a decision a long time ago. It's all good. It's all good, because all things work together for good. And he is writing to a persecuted people in the midst of when their lives could be in danger. And he is saying to them, and we know, you can know that you know that you know in the face of what you're going through, in the face of your circumstances. You can know that you know that you know that all things work together for good because you love God and are called according to his purpose. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, Ben, not sure that I do know. I know I'm supposed to know, but I don't really know. Well, I can pray for you just like Paul prayed for the Romans, that you would know in your heart, regardless of the season you're in right now, regardless of things aren't making sense, regardless of if you're going through a tough time, regardless of what's happening in your world, that in the midst of all of that, even if you're in the midst of a storm, just like Jesus, you can still sleep all the way through that storm because you can know that you know that you know that all things work together for good because you love God and accord according to his purpose. And so right now, what I'd love you to do is just close your eyes for a moment. And if you're hearing, you're saying, Ben, I know I'm supposed to know, but I don't really know. The pressures of that which is around me is starting to kind of get on the inside of my heart. I don't have the hope and the peace that I know is available in him. If that is you, we can pray that you can know that you know that you know that all things work together for good because you love God and accord according to his purpose. So if that's you, if that's how you're feeling right now, just where you are, slip up your hand and say, that's me. That's how I'm feeling. There's a number of hands there. It's a breakthrough day for you. It's a breakthrough day for you. You can walk out of this place, even without your circumstances changing, and still having that confidence on the inside of your heart. If those of you that have put up your hands, there's a number of you, what I'm going to ask you to do right now is this, and we've all been there. We've all had times when the outside has really got on the inside of us. If you put up your hand right now, just right where you are, and you're not by yourself, I want you to stand to your feet right where you are because I want to pray for you right now. So if you just put up your hand and say, I'm lacking that confidence, what I'm going through right now, that my circumstances are starting to penetrate my heart. If that is you, stand to your feet. And what I want you to do is this. I want you to pray this after me. Dear Lord, I thank you that all things work together for good because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your hope. And I thank you for your confidence. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for every person standing. And I pray from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. May they know the confidence that's available in you. I pray, may they know the peace that's available in you. Even if things aren't making sense right now, even if things are difficult right now, even if they've got pressures on every side, I pray, Lord God, that you may fill them with the confidence and the peace and the hope that's available in you. That no matter what's facing them, may they know that they know that they know that all things work together for good because they love you and accord according to your purpose. And I thank you that even today, Lord God, you're putting a greater level of resilience on the inside of them. I thank you, Lord, that even today you're putting them in, putting their heart a peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, you give us peace when it doesn't make sense. The world might get stressed, but we don't have to because we can have peace that surpasses all understanding. I thank you and I praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you stand to your feet? I want to pray for you. Aside from running my churches, I still travel around a bit. And I just kind of let the Lord decide where I end up. Very often, he sends me to a place that's about to cross over into a new season. Your church is 100. That's so old. Our movement was built on 3 churches, one of which is Newmark. And you've got a glorious history. But I believe that the best is yet to come. I believe you're about to cross over. It's a crossing Jordan moment. And so I want to pray, declare over you as one of the congregations of this church that all things will work together for good because you love God and accord according to his purpose. Amen. So right now, why don't you just lift your hands? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Newman. I thank you for all that it's been and all that it's done. But I thank you, Lord, that the best is yet to come. And I declare your blessing and favor upon this mighty historical church. I thank you, Lord, for the rivers of revival that have flown through this place. But I thank you for the increased territory to be taken in the future. And so I pray at this crossing Jordan moment, I come and I declare, Lord, that the best is yet to come for every single person in this place, but also too for the life of this church. I thank you for what you've done in the past, but I know that even greater is ahead. And I prophesy and declare the greatest years are ahead for Newmar Church. And we thank you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's awesome.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.